Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, even though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people are drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And Lord, Father, as we prepare for this year, for 2023, Father, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would help each and every one of us hear from you this morning. Wherever we are on this journey towards you, Lord God, may you clearly and with clarity and with just a real, may we expect you to move in our lives this year. And so, Father, we thank you for your presence. We welcome your presence in this place. We thank you for your love for each and every one of us. And we look forward to what you have in store for each and every one of us in 2023. And so we ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And all the mighty saints say,
Amen.
So good to see you all here today. And so, yes, 2023, we're beginning our first service. Who enjoyed the break? Anyone, you know, who enjoyed the break, you know, because we were two Sundays we didn't have service, here physically in Logan. So I hope you got time to spend with family, get to recharge the batteries, get to put on a few kilos like me, you know. And so I hope you're ready for 2023. Right, and the best way to start 2023 is with a fasting prayer time, to get off those extra kilos. But it's not about that. But yeah, okay. So we got prayer and fasting as well starting up, and so it's in line with our miracles sermon series that we're going through, that we're starting today. And so the title of my message today is Turning Water into Wine. We believe that God works miracles today by the power of the Holy Spirit, to bless his people and to advance his kingdom. And so in 2023, we're believing God for miracles, right? We're believing God for miracles that will testify of his power, of his authority, that will create new opportunities for us to be able to share the gospel and advance the gospel in our communities, right? So over the next 7 weeks, we're, for our sermon series, we're focusing on seven miracles that the gospel according to John is going to tell us of, signs that point people to faith in Jesus as the Son of God. And so, who here has seen Manifest? Anyone seen Manifest? Yes. Well, it's for those that don't know, it's a Netflix. If you have Netflix, go home and start soon. Don't look on your phone right now for it. Okay, wait till you get home. Okay, but it's a series, TV series on Netflix. And so it tells about this flight that was carrying a group of people, flight 828. And the plane went through something like a lightning storm, right? This lightning storm. And when they came out of it, everyone on the plane was like, wow, that was different. Right, because the plane was like shook like this, man, and flying everywhere and stuff like that. And so when the pilots get to when the pilots contact the control on the ground control to get clearance to land the plane, they get this hesitant response from ground control, of their plane. And so what they end up finding out is that this plane that they've been on has been missing for 5 years. And so everybody has on the plane hasn't aged one day, but everyone on the ground has all of a sudden gone forward 5 years. And they're wondering, where have you guys been? You know, a lot of the people were like, man, we had funerals for you guys. You know, you guys were lost. No one knew where you were. One of the main themes in it is that the people that were on the plane, they get these promptings or these visions, and they follow these visions to end up saving someone's life, or they find out something more about themselves. And it's at the time, it's like this, like a miracle that's happened for them. And miracles can be good. They can certainly get our attention. But when all we do is chase the miracle, that's when it can become dangerous, right? When we're chasing the miracles, because then we're being motivated more by what we want for ourselves rather than the giver of that miracle, right? We're wanting the healing more than the healer, right? But if we step back for a moment and we ask ourselves this question, what is a miracle? What is the purpose of a miracle? And I like how this writer puts it, T.R. McNeil from the Holman Bible Dictionary. He says this, that miracles, he defines miracles as events which unmistakably involve an immediate and powerful action of God designed to reveal his character or purposes. When I think of our reading that Steph read through this morning, the wedding in Cana and the issue of the wine running out, I personally don't think that this would be a place for a miracle to manifest, right? You know, if you think of miracles, you're thinking of like someone being raised from the dead, right? You're thinking of someone getting a miraculous healing. But at a wedding? Really? A wedding? Okay, let's go there. So in our reading of the gospel, according to John, there are several signs that Jesus performs throughout John, right? He raises people from the dead. He feeds the 5,000. And he heals people. And yet when we read of this miracle, the turning of water into wine, it's not a life or death situation, but yet this is how Jesus begins his ministry. There's this important lesson from this story that we learn. That not only about miracles, but also about how God changes our hearts when miracles take place. Okay? So the story takes place early in Jesus' public ministry. We read in verse 1, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And so the third day is indicating that this is shortly after the period that Jesus has begun calling his disciples. Okay, so at this point in time, Jesus has already called Peter and Andrew, who are brothers, the fishermen, and he also has called Philip, but he's also called Nathanael. And so the wedding is in Cana, which is about 13 kilometers out of Nazareth. And so we see that the mother of Jesus is there. Now this is the first time in the book of John that we're introduced to the mother of Jesus. And we all know her as Mary. Yes. And so it's likely that this was a family friend that was getting married, because Mary and Jesus and all his disciples, they were invited to the wedding. And so everything seems to be going really well until we get to verse 3. And it says this in verse 3, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. In the biblical times, weddings could last up to a week. Who wants a wedding that lasts up to a week? Wow. And the way that the weddings went was that new guests could arrive any time during that week. They didn't all arrive on the first day. You may get some that arrive on day 3 or day 4 or day 5. So, you know, you as a host, you needed to make sure that there was enough food and drink for that whole time, right? Mm-hmm, yes. And so it would be very easy, you know, at this time for food and drink to run out. Think of it, a whole week. But it will be a great embarrassment for the wedding couple if that happened. If they ran out of food or drink on day 3. So just imagine the financial and social pressures to have a wedding in this period. This was like a major social mistake. To run out of food or drink for the guests. And it was attached to this sort of sense of like, it would be great shame on the couple if this happened. A wedding was supposed to be the best time of the year. It was supposed to be a great celebration. So for a host to fail providing adequate hospitality was a great dishonor. One commentator puts it that it would be a social catastrophe. In today's sense, you probably, you know, end up being cancelled by the culture. Wow. Man, I'm so glad that weddings are one-day events, aren't you? It's a struggle one day, right? You think about it, oh my goodness. And so hopefully this sort of helps us to understand why the mother of Jesus would bring this up to Jesus, why she would raise this with Jesus. Scholars believe that this was a close family member and Mary wanted to help them avoid the embarrassment. Maybe she knew that her son Jesus could do something to help out the situation. Either way, problem is being brought to Jesus. So what's Jesus' response? He says this in verse 4. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." You know, when I initially read that, and like Jesus is referring to his mom as woman, if I was to refer to my mom as woman, man, I'll get the smackdown, you know? But like, you know, as I was reading about this though, this wasn't Jesus being disrespectful in this time, but this was, in actual fact, this was a title of respect that he was responding to his mother. One theologian says that this was like an indication of a change in the relationship between Jesus and his mother. You know, if she sought this help now, she must not seek it on the basis of their mother-son relationship. Right? Woman, what does this have to do with me? Have you ever had things that you did not think were worth bothering Jesus with? This seems like one of those moments, right? That Jesus didn't want to be bothered with. Jesus tells his mother, "What's this to do with me? It's not my time yet. My time has not come." Jesus isn't denying that there's a problem, but the issue was about the timing, right? It was all about the timing. The timing of Jesus revealing his glory. And so this phrase of "my time has not come," it appears several times throughout the book of John. In chapter 7, verse 6, and in chapter 7, verse 30, and in chapter 8, verse 20. Jesus understood that this would be a time when his majesty would be revealed, and that until that hour had come, he was under divine protection from the enemy. But in John 13, right before Jesus is taken into custody, Jesus knew that his hour had come then, in chapter 13. But that's still to come. So let's come back to chapter 2. Let's come back here to where we're reading today. And so Jesus' mother tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do. Do whatever he tells you to do." Now the best thing that we could ever do, especially when we need a miracle, is listen to Jesus. Amen? To obey him. In his book, Reason for God, Tim Keller defines a miracle as the intervention of God into the natural order. The intervention of God into the natural order. God is about to intervene into this natural order of life, into this wedding that is happening right there. So verse 6, "Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons." That's around 114 liters. And so, okay, let me put it to you in like a 2-liter bottle, right? You know, your favorite fizzy drink. Okay, 2-liter bottles, that's like 57 of those bottles. That's a lot of bottles. That's a lot of Pepsi Max. Right? And so Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. They filled them right to the top. So these servants, they not only did what Jesus says, but they filled them to the brim. They filled every one of those water pots, those water jars, right to the top. So this isn't just obedience. This is extreme obedience. They're like saying, okay, you wanted to fill it? Let's fill it to the top. And that's what they did. They simply did what Jesus told them to do. And probably at this point, they don't know exactly what's going to happen. They're just following the instructions, right? Mary has told them, do everything that he tells you to do. And he's given them these specific instructions. Fill the water, fill these jars up with water. In verse 8, we see Jesus commanding them to draw the water out and give it to the master of the feast. Now, the interesting part is that only the servants and the disciples that were with Jesus knew what was happening. The rest of the wedding party, they don't even know what's going on. They don't even have an idea that there's this issue that is happening in the background. Nobody else knows. They don't even know that Jesus is about to save the day. In verse 9, when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. So when the master of the feast tasted the water that's now become wine, he could not help but intentionally want to speak to the bridegroom. He wanted to comment to the bridegroom. He needed to speak with the bridegroom about this. Because like the wedding had already gone on for some time. And usually it's the best stuff that's used first. And at this point of the ceremony, of the wedding, this is the good stuff, right? And so he's telling this to the bridegroom. We don't know when or where or how the water became wine, right? But between the servants filling those water jars and then taking out a scoop and taking it to the master of the feast and giving it to him, sometime in there, in that window, it became wine. Perhaps it's in the process of obedience where the miracle happens. In obedience. We don't know the motivation for Jesus doing this other than his mother, right? His mom bringing the problem before him. So this can be a question for us. Do we bring our problems to Jesus? Do we bring our issues, things we're going through in our life, do we bring them before Jesus? The result was not only that the party was able to continue, but that this did something in the hearts of Jesus' disciples. His disciples that had chosen to follow him, his disciples that were sitting with him right there at that wedding, in Cana. And it says in verse 11, this, the first of the signs Jesus did in Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let's read that together. And his disciples believed in him. This theme of believing in Jesus is seen all throughout the book of John, even as the ultimate purpose of the book. We read in John chapter 20, verse 31, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This passage seems to be asking the reader, are these miracles enough? Are they enough to convince you to believe? Are they enough? Is what you're reading enough to convince you to believe in Jesus Christ? To put your faith in Jesus. Is it enough? Remember, this is the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. The beginning of signs and miracles and that Jesus would perform. So there's going to be more that will come later. So there is this tone that's being set to help us understand how Jesus works miraculously in different situations. And so what can we learn about miracles? What can we learn about miracles? Number one, the problem was brought to Jesus. Right? Everyone say, the problem was brought to Jesus.
The problem was brought to Jesus.
Everyone loves miracles, right? But not everyone loves being put in situations where miracles are need. We want them to happen, but we don't want to do the process to get there. What we do find is that at some point, the problem is brought to Jesus. You know, we see throughout John that the methods of performing the signs and the miracles, they change. But they all begin with a problem. And they bring the problem to Jesus. And so I was thinking, it's also interesting that this first miracle that Jesus performs, it's not at the request of the person that's needing the miracle, right? It wasn't the bridegroom that asked for the miracle. Who asked for it? Mary. Yeah. So she saw something that wasn't right. And so she steps into that. And if we think about, you know, Mary, we could probably understand that, you know, there was something that Mary knew about her son Jesus that nobody else in that room knew, right? That's why she probably asked Jesus. Because she knew her son better than anybody else in that room. And so she says to him, they have run out of wine. That's all she says to him. So she knows, I think she has some sort of idea that her son can do something about this, right? She knows that her son, Jesus, is a miracle worker. She's seen him. She's seen him grow up. She's seen the life that he has lived, right? Do we know where to go with problems when they arise? Do we bring them before Jesus? Or are we trying to figure it out ourselves? Are we trying to put this unnecessary stress and pressure on ourselves to come up with a solution, to come up with a fix? Or do we bring it to Jesus? Number two, the problem required obedience. You know, Mary tells the servants to do whatever Jesus tells them to do. That was her words to these servants. They don't know that he's the Messiah at this point. And since this is the first of his signs, they don't know. Their expectation is unknown about Jesus. They're just told to follow these instructions. And so they do. They simply acted in this posture of submission, in this posture of obedience. Sometimes we must obey before we understand. Sometimes we need to obey before we understand. Sometimes we're just to follow Jesus' instructions before we fully understand the big picture of what he's wanting to do. That's what faith is. It's just stepping out. Trusting that God knows what is best for you. Stepping out into that place. And it can be uncomfortable. It can be unknown. But that's a space for obedience to take root in our lives. Where is God calling for obedience in your life? In your own personal life? At the beginning of this year, you know, right now at this time of the year, you know, have you thought about, okay, 2022 was good, yeah. But what about 2023? What's that going to look like? How do I want God to change and work through me this year? I don't know about you, I don't like to do the same old, right? If you want to know God more, you've got to do something different. You can't expect to do the same old and expect a different result, right? You got to change something up. So what changes are you looking to do in your life this year? What things has God been speaking to you in your life? Whether it's attitude. Maybe it's attitude. Maybe it's a mindset. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's something that you're involved with. Maybe it's a business or a dream that you have. Whatever it may be, have you brought it before Jesus? Have you brought it before Jesus? Number three, the problem invited participation. Okay, the problem invited participation. But the problem was brought to Jesus. The problem required obedience. The problem invited participation. Jesus was the one performing the miracle, right? He was, and the servants were part of the process. They had a part to play. They had to fill the water pots with water. Why didn't Jesus just fill it with wine? You know, just click his fingers and fill it with wine. Why did he even use water? We don't have the answers for those questions. But we do know that Jesus chose to perform this sign using the things that were around, these water jars that were there, these empty water jars. And he also chose the people that were there, these servants, to take part, to fill it, right? To fill these water jars. How is Jesus inviting you to participate in his work today? How is Jesus inviting you to participate in what he's called you to do today? What can they look like? What are the things that you have in your hand that Jesus wants to use for his work? Resources, time, energy, you know, your motivation. Right? How is Jesus inviting you to participate in his work today? Number four, last one. Okay, the problem led to belief. The problem led to belief. So when we read verse 11, we see something happen as a result of this sign, right? What happened? The disciples believed. You know, one question that I had was, well, how is it that, you know, this miracle takes place and his disciples are there? Didn't they already believe? Because they were following Jesus, right? I think this sort of tells us that, well, this sort of indicates that there may be levels of belief. Right? They did choose to follow him, but they were like, yeah, you know, you could hang around Jesus, but that doesn't mean you necessarily believe him. Just like, you know, we can just come to church, but that doesn't necessarily mean we believe in Jesus. We can be part of a life group, and that doesn't mean that we believe in Jesus. What is it that you believe in your life? What is it that Jesus is wanting to use in your life? We can come to church. We can be around other Christians. And we can do the right things. But do we really believe in Jesus? Do we really believe in Jesus? Do we obey what he says? What he teaches to us through his word? What will it take for you to believe in Jesus? In what ways is God teaching you to trust him more today? The miracle here is not just about water changing into wine. It's about a doubting heart being transformed to a believing heart. That's the real miracle, right? And that's the point that Jesus wants to get each and every one of us to. Right? Because we all have doubts. We all have doubts in our heart about what we believe, what we follow, what we understand and experience in our minds. We all have areas of doubt that we don't completely, you know, understand. But Jesus is giving us this opportunity to choose him. He's giving us an invitation to follow him. What if we began to see our problems differently? What if we began to look at the problems that we're going through, that we're walking through? What if we began to look at them differently? What if our greatest problems were our greatest opportunities to deepen our faith? Instead of seeing it as an obstacle, oh, too hard, now I'm going this way, right? But we see it as an opportunity to grow and deepen my faith, to deepen my relationship with Jesus. And so I'm going to fight first. I'm going to go through this, right? And whatever that may look like going through, whether it's sitting down with someone, talking things through, whatever it is, whatever it can look like. What about where you're at and what is happening in your own life? What opportunities is God showing you to deepen your faith? Here's our discussion question for today. Okay, it was pretty quiet in here. I think the loudest voice was Baby over here. Thank you for agreeing to me, Baby. But, you know, this year is going to be a good year. And I hope you're excited about it. But it's not just about the excitement. It's about you taking those steps towards Jesus. You know, you don't completely understand it, but all you know is that you believe in Jesus. And so you just got to take that step. Right? You just got to take that step each and every day. Right? Be around community. Be around family and people that you're willing to walk alongside with. You know? And you are going to, you know, butt heads at times. There's going to be some challenges. Right? It's not going to be all sweet as, and you know, you're going to be always on the same page with the people that you're walking alongside with. There's going to be moments when you're going to come like this. But are you going to work through that? Sharpen each other through those moments, through those times? Or are you going to like, nah, let's walk through this together. All right? So here's our discussion question. Okay, our discussion question over here. What is a problem you are facing that only Jesus can fix? What is a problem that you are facing right now that only Jesus can fix? And I want you to take some time to talk with the person next. But also, you know, as you talk, you know, up to you how much of it. But I encourage you, you're talking with someone, get some accountability in there, right? Just put it on there. We're going through a series of miracles. So expect the best. Expect God to work in what He is wanting to do in and through you. Alright? So 3 minutes, have a chat with the person next to you, and we'll come back and we'll respond and worship without.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.